Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So I've been gone for 3 weeks, and Jay and I went to our annual Unity People's Convention that was held in Overland Park, Kansas, nearby Unity Village. And our theme, our conference theme, was One Humanity, Many Stories. And I just love that. I just love the theme. It was a convention that was quite different than what I had expected. Typically, the bar is so high for me to be impressed by by what's going on in the New Thought movement. And so I was my heart was open, basically, is my testimony to the experience. And I thought it would be a fitting title, especially knowing Diane's story. When Diane began to work with Jane to bring forth her story, I was anticipating what you would all experience, and it fit in so well with what I'd just come from, a whole week of listening to people's transformative stories and being a part of a collective holding of the space for our stories to connect us in ways that transcend, you know, our BS, our belief system. And one of the big pieces about the convention, it was subtitled, if you can hear my story, you couldn't help but to love me. And I just feel that depth of opening, especially after Diane's sharing. I mean, we can't help but to love what has been her journey and what it inspires us to move towards as we are also faced with the certainty that in our human experience we will be challenged, and yet our effort is to know that with God all things are possible, to know that we're not alone, to know that there is a movement of spirit and activity and intelligence, a love that carries us beyond any of our cares and concerns, but yet our struggle is to kind of be able to know the truth and to be in this world, but recognize that we're not of it. And so that's the challenge that we have. Now, in this convention where the focus was on stories and how stories connect us and how stories help us to transcend the circumstances of our life, it goes to not only recognizing that our transformative stories is what helps us awaken to a dimension of ourself that sometimes needs to be mirrored, sometimes need to be reflected back to us in someone else's life, someone else's struggle. And so as we, as a convention body, as a body of 300 plus Unity people coming together to kind of know that our efforts in terms of creating a world that works for everyone really begins with each of us in our own effort to transcend our own self-imposed limitations. And so our transformational stories become the context for mission-centric ministry, because when we recognize that as our stories become evidence that our principles and our effort and our humanity is truly one, is truly capable of transcending any difficulty, then we feel empowered, and that's important. The other side of stories is that we often have stories that separate us, that keep us separate or apart or alone or afraid. And it's when those stories become defining for us is that's when it becomes problematic. And so an interesting phenomenon when you get a group of Unity colleagues to come together, it's a different environment, because oftentimes when ministers come together, they let their guard down a little bit. They become themselves as opposed to feel like they have to show up a certain way. Of course, that's not my problem. What you see is what you get as far as I'm concerned. But for my colleagues, it's not that way. They live in their own secret feeling of inadequacy or not enough. And to be able to articulate that, to express that that's the story that they have, sometimes is what's needed. And from time to time, what's also needed for ourselves is to kind of become aware of the stories that are capturing our attention when we're not even conscious that that's what's going on. And so part of our effort in the spiritual journey is to awaken to the ways in which we've set ourselves separate and apart. Not because of any choice that we make consciously, but we've taken on beliefs about ourselves that aren't the truth of us. And so when we live in some belief that's not the truth of us, we manifest the very thing that we don't want to experience, because there's a part of us that is drawing into our life a needed reflection that we're living in a sense of separation. And so our sense of separation creates insufficiency, creates obstacles, creates challenges in our life. As opposed to those challenges finding us, we have to recognize there's a part of our consciousness as it unfolds requires of us to have certain experiences so we can awaken from the dream of separation or the story of not enough or the story that we're not okay. So as we look at this, as we begin to unpack how we can become not only aware of how our life is unfolding in the context of our own transformational experience, but become aware of the stories that live inside of us that are the very obstacles to those transformational experiences. So I mentioned in a couple of talks ago, Jane and my next favorite book is What's in the Way is the Way by Mary O'Malley. And this will likely be a book study that she introduces in the fall. And Mary O'Malley has a very unique way of articulating the conundrum, the fact that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and yet our human experience conditions us to feel separate and apart. And so to be able to regain our connection to our sense of wholeness, to our sense of well-being and worth, to our sense of knowing that there's a higher intelligence, our higher self is available to us if we are able to simply train ourselves to stay connected, we have a total different quality of experience. But it's important for us to know that there are things that we have to do to change how we're being with what's happening, as opposed to trying to use all of our creativity and our creative effort to try to change what's happening out there because we're uncomfortable inside of us. So there's a principle that I'm wanting to share from this book. I'm wanting you to imagine with me a meadow, a beautiful meadow. And she describes what she calls the meadow of your well-being. Just imagine such a thing. The meadow of your well-being lives within you. That's the truth of you. That there's some aspect of ourself that right now is connected to a dimension of one's knowing of one's worth and value, that there's no sense of not enough that's possible. And so if you can imagine such a state, that's what Jesus called the abundant life that is given to us already. It's just that we're out of phase with it. We're out of phase with that dimension of life that already has as its intent to bring us into the full expression of who and what we've come here to be. But if that's not our experience, there's something that's happening that keeps us from operating out of this context, that we're connected to everybody, everyone, everything, everywhere, and every time. This is our natural state, but because we live under what she calls spells, spells are just simply beliefs, beliefs that we're not okay, that we're not enough, because we live as if that's the truth of us, there is a veil, there is something that's obscured in our capacity to know or to be in feeling a connection to the meadow of our well-being. And so if you could imagine yourself in this meadow and then all of a sudden recognize that it becomes something that you can no longer sense because we're living in this kind of clouds of our stories of struggle. And so just imagine, if you will, having the greatest good in your life obscured or not accessible or invisible to you because there's so many stories in your head about why it's not possible for you or for me to have what it is that we ultimately we're yearning for in our life. Can you relate to such a thing? That we live in this illusion of how our life is because of the stories that happen. And so part of the waking up process is to begin to recognize the difference between the storyteller and the person who's listening to the story in our head. Okay, so there's two different dynamics. There's the story that goes on in our head that's told by, as if it's narrated by, some part of us. But that's not the truth of us. The part of us that is the truth of us is the person who's listening to the story as if that's who we are, as if that's the truth of us. And if you pay attention to the stories that are running in your head, you will see that they are always portraying your life as if it's against you in some fashion. And whenever you feel a sense of not enough, or a sense that your presence doesn't matter, or that you don't measure up, you're living as if there is this belief that there's something wrong. And what if it's just the cloud, or just the spell, or just the conditioning, or the belief system? What if that is the problem as opposed to what's really happening in our life experience? And so she has a methodology for helping us become conscious of the stories that are in our head that are inadvertently control our well-being when we're not conscious. And so part of the challenge is becoming conscious in the moment that you're listening to the storyteller in your head. Another word for the storyteller is your ego. And as you begin to pay attention to what's going on in your head, stories fall into two different categories, stories about the past or stories about the future. And that's a way to wake up. So in the moment, as you find yourself in some form of dis-ease with what you are having, then be in the question, am I experiencing a story from my past, or am I experiencing something I'm projecting about the future? So that you can begin to differentiate what you're having as the story and the storyteller that's talking to you, as if this is important for you to take into consideration. So an example of this is being, you know, looking, for instance, for us, Jay and I are in the process of moving towards relocating and developing our property in Kettle Falls. And so in the process of moving to Kettle Falls, eventually, we have to have a home. We have to have electricity brought to the property. We have all these things that have to happen in order for that condition to fulfill itself, where we have some place to live when we retire. And so always when you're dealing with situations in the world where you have to borrow money or go to make your well-being somehow dependent upon what's happening out there, you worry about things. And so the story that Jane and I constantly have to struggle with is whether or not we can have enough, if we have enough. Have you ever been in the story of your own sense of not enough before? And then living in that as if that's the truth of you, not feeling very empowered when you recognize you're going to have a credit rating, or you're going to have a certain income or borrowing capacity, all these things we mortgage our well-being on conditions outside of oneself. And so operating under the spell of not enough, then every effort to try to acquire something that is necessary for the next step of one's unfolding then causes one to look outside of oneself for evidence of one's worth. And so now you can see what the problem is. The problem is that is the issue is not whether or not we have enough. The issue is that we're believing that we are not enough in the presence of our desire to move something forward. And so the next step is to notice how we confuse ourselves with the storyteller. You know, when I listen to that part of me that says, you can't afford this, you can't do that because this isn't happening, I take that in as if someone's telling me how my life really is, as opposed to, well, why are you saying this? This is not true. To actually question the storyteller inside of you, you have my permission to do that from now on, to know that you can know that the story that's being told in your head is not the truth. It's just the story that you've been conditioned to use as evidence of your inadequacy, or as evidence that you're a disappointment. The story is simply the artifact of the conditioned aspect of our being as opposed to the truth of who we are. Then finally she says, you know, to relate to your story, not from your story. So I can relate to my story of not enough, but if I relate from my story of not enough, that's the problem. And so I have to be able to be with my story of not enough and recognize, and that's not the truth of me, I'm under the spell of this belief that I am not enough. Therefore, my effort to try to acquire something that's necessary and needed becomes a struggle. And I become committed to having my life be a struggle as opposed to committed to bearing witness that can come to me effortlessly. So I wanted to share a quote from one of my mentors and teachers, from Dr. Joe. He says, the quantum field, I got to read it from up here, responds not to what we want, it responds to who we are being. And so let us just say that the dimension of ourself, the quantum dimension of ourself, let's call it the field or our higher self, the dimension of ourself that has the capacity to bring forth what is necessary and good is actualized in the context of who we are being with what we're having. And so if who we are being with what we're having is not enough, then what we create is insufficiency. Jesus said it this way, to him who has, more shall be given. To him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away. And the principle is that whenever we be with what we're having, out of some belief that's not the truth of us, what gets created is something that is in the way of our seeing the meadow of our well-being. And so to kind of step out of this conundrum of really focusing on not, see, our conditioning is, our story is about what we're having. That's the problem. We never go to, who am I being that is helping to cause this to be a mirror unto me? And when we begin to shift to who am I being with what I'm having right now, we will see that when we're needing to be right, we're being our inadequacy. When we're having to have things a certain way, we're being our sense we don't measure up. And we begin to understand the relationship with how our life looks and feels and how we're being. Because how we're being conditions the field to collapse into the context that is the mental equivalent. If I'm being a disappointment, I'm going to have experiences where people are going to help me understand how I fell short, you see. And so for me, I think of it this way. This is what I tell my clients. Most of my clients are dealing with not enough. In other words, the church clients I'm working with. And so I share with ministry leaders that you cannot try to get more in the presence of your not enough. I mean, just think about that for a moment. How many of us, in the presence of our own sense of not enough, try to get more of what's missing and find that that doesn't work? And yet that becomes the default way of being with all of us. But what if instead of getting more, the effort was to be more? Now, just try that on just for a moment. What does it mean when you're dealing with not enough to be more with it? That's the hard part, because you see, our mind doesn't know how to do that. Our mind doesn't know how to be more with not enough. And so we have to shift into the part of us where stories don't happen. the part of us where judgment doesn't happen, the part of us where not enough doesn't arise, the part of us where a sense of well-being and worth is our standard context for how we're having our life. Where is that part of us if it's not in our head? Where is it? It's in our heart. Right, because so what does it mean from the context of the heart to be more? That's all the heart knows how to do. Think about it. What does it mean for the heart to be more in the presence of not enough? What would the heart want us to know about how to be with what we're having? Well, let's we can run through some possible lists of things. I know Jane and I, for us, when we were dealing with our struggle of managing, doing what we had to do in order to, you know, get the loan or get the credit approved or whatever, it's always about needing to be more worthy. That when you shift into being more worthy and begin to explore what it must that be like to feel absolutely worthy of this good that I'm seeking to welcome into my life. How would it feel to be in this experience of welcoming something, knowing that it is not about whether or not I deserve this? I know my worth. And what does it mean to be in the situation of what the world is asking us to do in terms of what happens when, I'm sorry, we can't give you this loan because, you know, this is insufficient or this is not right. And so we have to, in that moment, be in greater integrity with respect to our personal finances. We have to be in the question, how do we understand more about what it is that we have to be willing and able to do if we are to be in alignment with this intent to be the avenue through which something moves through us, as opposed to us trying to struggle to acquire something outside of us. So those examples I've used in the context of our effort to, you know, work this process of moving towards Kettle Falls, there's a lot more to share about that, but that's just I'm just beginning to unfold a little story. Because what I'm wanting to share is that when we shift out of being as opposed to getting or having as our way of trying to manage what's missing in our life, our mind doesn't know how to do that. And so when we give up trying to address whatever is our issue that has to be fixed in the context of this is what our mind wants to do, it wants to fix this, it wants to change this, it wants to have this different, it wants to predict or control this, when we abandon that and begin to rest our awareness in cultivating a connection to that meadow of our own well-being that transcends any outer condition and really connect to the truth of who we are, and then open to that connection in the question, how do I need to be with this that I'm having right now that actualizes that dimension of myself that is connected to the field of infinite possibilities where all things are working together for a greater good? Finally, I just end with these words from Mary O'Malley that I like. Life is set up to bring up what has been bound up so it can open up to be freed up so you can show up for life. All right. God bless you.